Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs!
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. We talk some baseball. We talk some hoops. Let's do a bunch of football this hour. What do you say?
Trifecta for a Tuesday during football season. Pretty rare.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But for good reason, we've been able to hit all three. At least we will after we dive into football this hour. Aaron Lemming again coming up, 4:30, Bear Report. We'll sift through the cartilage. Or carnage. Or cartilage, too. I don't hope that... unfortunately, I don't feel like Nick Chubb's cartilage and his knee's going to be doing too well. I'm not trying to make a joke there, but that was a brutal hit
last
night.
That was awful. That was... They didn't show the replay initially, and then it started kind of circling Twitter, and it was bad.
Mm. Feel bad for him. Going to be very interesting to see what Cleveland decides. Kareem Hunt still out there.
I saw that he's taking a visit today with the Browns.
Is that right?
Wasted no time.
As a guy who picked him in fantasy and have just been holding on, hoping that a situation pops up, I definitely hope that works out. That's a good Cleveland Browns offensive line. And all of their – is it Jerome Ford, their backup running back last night? Looked pretty darn good.
He did.
That was a wild – it was an ugly football game for a while, but – sometimes that's what the NFL.
Both games were really hard to watch.
The Saints Panthers game. Bryce Young did
and
not
we
look
said
good.
That walking out yesterday. We were like, oh, the Monday night slate tonight. Those are two terrible games. And they ended up being pretty terrible. But the Steelers Browns game, it got exciting there towards the end. Deshaun Watson not living up to that contract, not living up to that trade.
No.
He does not look anywhere near the player he was before the whole ordeal happened.
He did not play well down the stretch of last year. I know that the Browns got the week one win against the Bengals, but
he didn't do much to help that. I was defensively driven.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to talk more NFL because on a Monday, we do get the great benefit of talking to Jay Layman, get a bunch of college football thoughts, Luke Altmyer, and a lot of our NFL week two thoughts or our NFL weekly thoughts are pushed into Tuesday and sometimes Wednesday. But I did want to get you – let's do this first. Let's talk some Illini football. And if we have some time before Aaron Lemming, we'll kind of give some grand scheme of things, thoughts on the NFL. And then after Aaron talks and tells us why the Bears are done and this season is hopeless, we can circle back and any other games that stood out or results or thoughts, performances, we can hit on that before the end of the show. But let's transition to Illinois football. I mentioned this in the first hour, Kyle, right off the gate. It's been something that's been on my mind. It's just – how much this fan base needs a convincing win against Florida Atlantic. Not just a win, not a by the skin of your teeth, not a ho-hum, that was ugly, but hey, at least they won. This team needs to look really, really good going into this week and be able to shoot some life into the fan base, shoot some life into this team, some confidence. I know that they're saying that they're able to, you know, offensively, they're still working, they're moving on, they're trying to learn from Luke Altmyer in particular, learned from the mistakes he made against Penn State. I do think for very good reason they're more encouraged by what they showed defensively against the Nittany Lions. But Illinois football, say what you want about the schedule, and it is at least a valid point, but this is a game that you should win convincingly, and they need to do that just to get the feelings right, the confidence, and get some excitement back in this team.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think you absolutely should blow this Florida Atlantic team out. I think they are a solid team. I know you guys talked about it yesterday, how they shouldn't be overlooked, but now they lose their starting quarterback, Casey Thompson, who transferred from Nebraska, was at Texas before that. They're starting a guy that, forget where he transferred into.
Central Michigan.
Central Michigan. Didn't win the job at Central Michigan, or yep, lost the job at Central Michigan last year. That's who the quarterback you're facing coming into Champaign. A Florida Atlantic defense that just gave up 48 points to a Clemson offense that we thought was did not look very good after week one. We did not think that was
they
a very
brutal
good offense.
Week one.
Now, maybe that wasn't truly who they are, but you can score on them. You should be able to hold their offense down with a backup quarterback in there 1,000%. If that defensive performance against Penn State wasn't a one-off, and that's really getting back to who you really are, you hold Florida Atlantic to maybe one score in this game to me. And I think you should be able to do that. I think it's super important that Illinois blows out this Florida Atlantic team, gets a convincing win, one much like Wyoming and Chattanooga last year, where after the first couple drives, there's no real doubt in the game. I think you need to see that on Saturday, and I don't think I'm being unfair to expect that. I think the defense should be able to have a big day, but really the offense has to get going in this football game. You need to run the ball well. Luke Altmyer needs to bounce back. The receivers have to play a much better game. Barry Lunney's going to be challenged this week to really show some things offensively. But I think all of it should be possible against an opponent like this. But I totally agree with you. I don't want to win this game by 10 where all of a sudden Florida Atlantic won't go away. No, let's win this game by 30.
Right. No, and I'm glad you mentioned there about Barry Lunney. He's going to be under a microscope this week, not only himself, obviously Luke Altmyer's bounce back performance, if he is able to make some of the corrections, and just you go from facing one of the top 10 teams in the country, and now it's what should be a far more generous defense in Florida Atlantic, being able to have a really, really nice performance. Like you said, the receiving core is something that's got to be able to pick up and be able to be something that you rely on a little bit more. And I want to be able to watch Malik Elzey get some meaningful snaps, to have his first career touchdown late in that game. There's no reason why he shouldn't be out there early in games, designed opportunities to get him the ball, just knowing his talent. This passing attack needs some more pop. I think the offense in general needs it, because the running game is not nearly as explosive. I don't think it's going to be this year in comparison to Chase Brown. Now, that's not saying anything grand, but just to – it seems like there needs to be a little bit more sizzle in this offense, and I think Malik Elzey can bring some of that.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me in the Penn State game was the lack of playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. Now, I'm not excusing any of the interceptions that Luke Altmyer threw, because I think all of them had a lot to do with his decision-making or just poor throws in general. But at the same time, he's just not getting much help out there. I mean, Isaiah Williams occasionally is going to, you know, he's the one that will consistently show up, and he's occasionally going to give you that big play. But like Casey Washington and Pat Bryant, they just are not impressing me at all this year. I think the lack of separation from them is a big, big problem. I think we saw it last year. It was a big question last year with these guys. Now, I think their job was a lot easier when Chase Brown was running for 140 yards a game. That was opening a lot up for them, because you have to respect the run on every single down. You don't have that as much this year, so that's making it all the more tougher on these receivers. And I just think they need a spark offensively. They need a playmaker, a guy that's going to give Luke some help, that's going to get open, that's going to be, you know, even in Malik Elzey's case, just a bigger body that can go up and make a play for his quarterback. I want to see Illinois dig a little deeper into the depth chart. I'm not saying that I don't think Pat Bryant and Casey Washington are both good football players that can be really important pieces to this offense. I'm not saying bench them. I want to just see them expand the depth chart a little bit and try to provide some life to this offense, because that it really did stick out to me. Like, those guys were getting locked up, and I get Penn State's got really good corners. They do. But those guys were not helping out Luke at all, and they really didn't against Kansas.
No.
And they didn't help Tommy DeVito out at times last year. There was some criticism at times last year. I think they have to be better, and I think Illinois has some options that I would like to see at least get an opportunity.
Yeah, this offense is still looking for some answers. Also, Barry Lenny Jr. says, still trying to find its identity. I know that's a recurring narrative here. It's still fairly early in the season, but you'd hope against an opponent like Florida Atlantic you'd be able to do that. Barry Lenny spoke about that earlier this week, trying to find an identity on offense and what he hopes that looks like. Here is the Illini offensive coordinator.
Well, I mean, I think we've certainly identified what our strengths and weaknesses are. I think the line move that we made last week, I think will help solidify kind of and take another step forward. You know, we did that, you know, that move or whatever, you know, you wouldn't expect that to wave a magic wand and all of a sudden guys feel super comfortable in the new positions they're in. I thought they handled it pretty well, all in all, for the short turnaround that they did with the moving of positions. And so I know our identity needs to be and will be here, that we got to be more effective in running the football and be more balanced and got to take care of the ball and have early down success. That doesn't mean we got to be more conservative, but we have to be we have to establish our identity just a little bit clearer. And it's been in bits and pieces, it's been flashes, but we have yet to put a game together that looks like and feels like the game that we want it to look like, as far as playing with a good amount of pace, but also injecting, you know, shifts, movements, emotions, and being balanced in our run and our pass concepts.
I do think Jay Lehman's brought up some good points just in terms of game scripts. And last week it was just turnovers by Luke Altmyer. But the fact that Barry Lenny has had some challenges in establishing the exact play calling or just identity, to use the word right there, of what he's wanted to do. I don't think there will be those excuses in this Florida Atlantic game. You're going to have an effective game plan, show that you can get some momentum rolling offensively. It's about time for them to establish that run game. Otherwise, I don't think there should be encouragement for it to really come around. I'm curious, coming off of that last game, I know Josh McCray was limited to 4 carries, and we talked about it on Monday, about just him not looking as – he was never a make you miss type of running back, but really the lack of speed is very, very noticeable how that plays out. But even Reggie Love, who's had some flashes this year, just doesn't have the make you miss, the next gear that Chase right. Brown had last year is definitely something this run game is missing. I'm not sure it's going to come around either.
Yeah. Jay said it perfectly yesterday to me with you guys, where he said, Reggie's been good. He doesn't have the ability to make that last guy miss and break one that Chase did. It seems like he's always one guy away from breaking one, and he can't quite break free. He just doesn't have the same level of explosiveness. I think he's been pretty impressive. He's a tough runner. I mean, that mm-hmm. run against Penn State, pretty much the only thing all day that really fired up Memorial Stadium, was awesome.
True.
But yeah, it's just you don't have that same quality of play. It's no surprise. We knew that was going to be the case. You don't have Chase Brown in your backfield. I think that they absolutely should be able to run the ball better than they have, however. And again, that may mean trying something else. Josh McCray, I was so high on him after his freshman year. I feel terrible that he got hurt the way he did, because it's clear that he's not the same player. He doesn't have the same burst that he did before the knee injury. But you probably got to eat into some of his snaps, and maybe that is Caden Fagan, maybe that is Aiden Loffery, but give someone else a shot.
Yep.
Or commit to giving Reggie Love 20-plus touches a game, because he has, I believe, because I was looking at this for something that I was working on, he has 35 touches through 3 games. Chase Brown had 35 more touches in 5 of his 12 games last year.
Wow.
And I'm not saying that he's necessarily deserving of Chase Brown level, you know, workhorse type, you know, carries, but maybe commit to just giving him a full workload and say 25 carries against FAU. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah,
Reggie. And I wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind committing to that, but the run game's got to be better in general.
Fully agree. And I do think that's a very fair point. I don't think many people would have arguments with a pretty clear-cut number one workhorse type of back being Reggie Love. I think people out there, and I'm one of them, curious of what a little bit more Caden Fagan could look like, and not to completely write off Josh McCray. I think especially when you get in down deep near the goal line, a guy that, or need a tough yard or two, I think he's someone that just with his build that you can hopefully run in between the tackles and get the blocking up front to make that an effective game plan. But I definitely think that that's something that they'll need to establish. And I think another thing as far as offensively is just what's the bounce back? Where's the confidence as far as Luke Altmyer is concerned? And just can you avoid a mistake or two in this kind of a game against a team that you should be able to handle, but a turnover thrown into coverage, all of a sudden that can give a squad some confidence that they can not only stick around, but possibly even beat you. Where is Luke Altmyer's head at after Penn State? Barry Lenny talked about just going over the film with Luke and trying to learn from those four interceptions that he threw against Penn State.
Yeah, I think when you watch the film, you see how, you know, just the razor thin margin of error that there is in the game, you know. So a throw, you know, like the first, maybe the second pick, I think the fade to Casey, I mean, it's underthrown by, you know, a yard. If it's thrown a yard further, we probably got a, turns into a 50-50 ball. A yard and a half, though, it's probably a 70-30 ball, and we just underthrew it. You know, that's things like that. You know, as long as there's a root, and you understand what the root cause, was it decision-based? Was it throwing-based? Was it, you know, route-based or whatever? When you can get down and peel it back and have an answer, and we do, then you can get those things fixed. And so that, I think that part was encouraging. That's how you approach it with. So look, this is real concrete. This is not abstract. Like, okay, if we do this, this, and this, this never happens. And so I think when you do that, you get players confidence, and that's the truth. When most mistakes happen, there's a root cause of it, and there's a root solution. And so I think we felt good about how we corrected that in film.
I would think that the roots would be decision-making, right? Almost entirely?
I think so. I do see what he's saying. I think it wasn't necessarily – I think the third pick where he came and he threw up that ball to Casey Washington on the sideline after the big play to Isaiah Williams, mm-hmm. You can't do that. You got to protect the football there. Illinois's got the momentum, chance to get back in the game. But I don't necessarily hate taking a one-on-one shot, trusting your guy. It's got to be better thrown ball on all those. I mean, the first one, he just underthrew it. I didn't even necessarily hate that ball down the sideline on the first pick. It was just an awful throw. And there was a world where that third one gets completed with a better throw, but it's probably not a shot you take on first down. But mainly I do think it was decision-making, and it's just knowing the situation of a game, especially against that quality of opponent. A sack is better than throwing a pick in some of those situations, or scrambling and throwing it away is a lot better. You just got to have that awareness, and it's something that I think just comes with time for a younger quarterback like Luke.
The fact that Illinois continuously had chances to stay in that game was a big credit to the Illinois defense, held Penn State to some field goals, was pretty competitive at the line of scrimmage. At the very least, Johnny Dude once again flashed on screen and is getting a lot of national and NFL draft type of hype, and very well deserved. So we've been waiting to see this front seven really step up and be a little bit more of a punch you in the mouth when you decide to run it type of defense. And it was a tough one to go against Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. For the most part, they fared pretty well. Aaron Henry talked about just the improvements of the run D and how important that is going forward.
I think guys just doing their job and their assignment and nothing more than that. You know, I do think the first couple of weeks guys were chasing things, you know, and just fundamental routine things that we typically make. Guys are jumping out of gaps. They're just not being fundamentally sound. And it got exposed. Things like that get exposed against good teams, you know. And so, obviously, playing Penn State, right, they run a different offense than the last two we played. But I think these young men, they wanted to be a lot more fundamentally sound and detailed. And obviously, that was a point that we harped on all week. And it wasn't perfect by no means. And I still think we have to be better and we can improve in a lot of those departments still. But I do think the arrow is headed in the up direction as opposed to down.
The last topic I want to hit before we catch a break, the loss of Matthew Bailey and both Demetrius Hill in that secondary, a position group that you already were a little dicey on going into the season just based on the inexperience. You wonder maybe how much depth there was. Now, they did bring in a guy like Hill, a guy like Nakario Harper from Louisville, although we haven't seen him.
I think you'll see him a little more now.
Yeah, I would think so. Obviously, Clayton Bush has been someone that's been out there a lot so far early on. But just how do you sustain the losses of a guy in Bailey that was a starter, like unquestioned starter on your depth chart, thought that Hill being a freshman All-American last year at FIU was going to be able to work his way into the mix and be a factor in that back end. Now he's gone as well. So how does Aaron Henry address that, and what does he see the impact of that being losing both those guys?
Yeah, man, they're good players. They're really good players for us. And I think throughout fall camp, you know, we've been training a bunch of guys at just a safety position in general. And it happens every year, right? It happened last year at the cornerback position. And you try to rotate guys and train them early in multiple spots, so when these situations do come up, you have answers for them and you're not really like just pulling from a random position. And so this is something that we pride ourselves on in the offseason, dual training guys for exactly these moments. They happen every year. Every year they happen. Every year I've been in this profession, they've happened in some capacity, whether it's up front, on the back end, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball or not. Like, it happens at every position. And so this year, right now, it's just so be it's the back end. And, you know, I think we got some guys that are more than capable enough and ready to fulfill those spots.
Good stuff from both coordinators, Barry Lunney and Aaron Henry, as they gear up, try to learn from what happened in the 30-13 loss to Penn State and get ready for FAU, the last game of the non-conference before going full-fledged into the Big Ten conference slate. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk more football, but we'll switch to the National Football League. The Chicago Bears have killed my soul. They did so in week one, and then last week wasn't much better. I didn't have any high hopes, and they didn't give me reason to have a bunch. But Aaron Lemming from the Bear Report is going to give us his take on what exactly is going down in Chicago, current, and any updated thoughts on Justin Fields being the answer as the franchise quarterback, the play calling I want to ask him about. Matt weighs in on the U of I line link text line. I have my own thoughts on this. I'll ask Aaron for you just to get a answer from someone that covers this really closely. Is Chicago ruining another quarterback, or is he really a really good athlete, but maybe not a good starting quarterback in the NFL? I think it can be both. I think it can be some of both. And I have been very fearful of the Bears ruining him with that offensive line. Now I'm really with the play calling, not putting him in a position to use his feet. What's his biggest asset? And then, yes, there are some things with Justin Fields right now. Seeing the field, holding on to the ball too long. I mean, he was throwing ducks out there against Tampa, so you wonder where he is from a confidence standpoint. It can be both, but I admittedly am just angry at the fact of the position they've put him in right now. But I do think Justin Fields deserves blame as well, and we'll get Aaron's opinion on that. On the other side, this is The Drive.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at KelseyFurniture.com. That's KelseyFurniture.com.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits' Green Street location, shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop them at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Illini fans, get ready to join Stevie J Broadcasting at Pia's for our kickoff event after 3 p.m. on Fridays. We'll have tickets to the game, coolers, koozies, hats, shirts, as well as jerseys for some of your Illini favorites. As we say, go Illini. Enjoy drink specials from Coors and Miller Lite, Twisted Tea, Captain Morgan, and Bullet Rye and Bourbon. To join myself, Lante, and Derek Piper on the air live from Pia's Fridays, as we say, go Illini. Party at Pia's Friday before our Illini game on Saturday. Join us after 3 with prizes. See the Bullet Woody tailgate wagon with $5 shots of Bullet Rye and Bourbon. This teardrop camper folds out on the Pia's patio for the ultimate party experience as you get the latest game details from Derek Piper and myself with our live show from 3 to 5. On the drive, stay for the karaoke after 9 p.m. Friday night, $4 fireball shots. On the air, live from Pia's Fridays, as we say, go Illini. Pia's 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Tim Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. We're going to the Tapman's Towing phone line. Going to talk some Chicago Bears with our guy, no one does it better, Aaron Lemming for the Bear Report. Aaron, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. Don't sound so excited about talking about the Bears now. It's only week 2, or week 3, I guess, now.
I'm not that excited. I am excited to get your takes. I am not doing that well in terms of a Bears fan. This has been brutal. I let myself feel again for the Packers game. I convinced myself the Bears not only had a pretty decent chance to win, I thought that they would win. I thought Justin Fields would show that he was the brighter future as far as a quarterback in comparison to Jordan Love, and we know how that played out, and it was tough viewing on Sunday and didn't get much better against Tampa in week 2. Aaron, I don't even know where to start. Let's start with Justin Fields. Like, the conversation is loud right now around Chicago, around, like, nationally, too, as far as what this means for him, what this means in terms of how the Bears are putting him in position to not be successful or give him a chance to be successful. What is your take on what's happening with a guy that was – maybe it was too hasty. You even said it in the offseason for some outside shot MVP stuff, but just someone that we thought would take a step forward, and so far – it looks like a disaster.
Well, I think as a whole for this team, I mean, this has been, you could script up a lot of bad starts, and I man, it's hard to see much of a worse one than what they started off as. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the entire team, at least in my opinion, looks worse. Justin Fields has regressed to the, you know, I would say the worst part of his rookie year. You know, the defense isn't playing well. The coaching isn't there. It's been a pretty big disappointment so far. And I think the big thing with Justin Fields is, you know, I think it's a combination of obviously his play and, you know, it's kind of the battle, I think, especially, you know, with fandom and Twitter and everything else, is everybody wants to put the blame on one thing, right? Nobody wants to believe, you know, that it could be a multitude of different things. And I think the reality of it is, there's a lot going wrong for this Bears offense right now. The offensive line, I don't think has played as bad as what some people have thought. I mean, you look at the sacks and everything else, but I mean, there's a lot of the time that Justin Fields has time to get the ball out of his hands and he's not doing it. I think the play calling has done him no favors at all. I don't really understand how they can go through the middle part of last year, you know, averaging 30 points a game, and, you know, he's on the run and he's throwing the ball well, you know, they're scoring points, and all of a sudden they turn him right back into a pocket passer. So I think There's multiple factors to this, but I think it's getting to that point where it's concerning. I mean, you're talking about year three. I mean, this is somebody who has started the majority of the games his first 2 years in the league, and you come into year three, and not only does he not look like he's improved, it looks like he's regressed in a lot of ways, including his confidence, which I think is a huge thing for any young quarterback.
Aaron, to see, there's a stat out there. I think 4 designed runs have been called for Justin Fields so far this season, and as someone that's followed it as closely as you have through the offseason and going into this year, was there any indication that the Bears gave as far as wanting to run him less? And how shocked are you that they have gone in this direction to not try to use his legs as much as they did last year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think there was a lot of indications in terms of his running. I think really the big thing was they talked about maybe, you know, playing a little bit more safe and, you know, wanting things to kind of naturally happen. And then, you know, obviously, you know, keeping him safe. But really the biggest talking point throughout the entire offseason was his development as a passer. And I think that, you know, there's just so many different ways to play quarterback in this day and age. And there's so many different offenses. There's so many different just ways to do everything, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that trying to make him a pocket passer when that's not something he's ever really been great at. Like, he's not a guy that's going to get the ball out super quick. He's not a guy that's going to anticipate a ton of throws. Like, he is a big game hunter down the field, and you basically need to be able to scheme up something to where he can be free and kind of extend things and make plays. And obviously, you know, there's a limited ceiling on that. I don't think anybody can deny that, but I think we've seen that work in the past with different quarterbacks, you know, Daniel Jones being, you know, one of the latest. Obviously, you know, he hasn't had a great start to the year, but they did hang 31 points, you know, in the last half of this last week. But a guy like Cam Newton, it's the same thing where you have to play to your quarterback's strengths. And we saw the same thing with Matt Nagy, where it's like, you know, with Trubisky and with Fields as well, where it's like they want to run their offense. They don't want to adjust. And I think what makes it more confusing to me is they made the adjustments last year. Things worked out really well. Obviously, he was a little bit hit or miss towards the end of the year. But, I mean, through like a 5-week period, he was, in terms of, you know, just overall efficiency, he was the 4th-best quarterback in the league. And then all of a sudden, you scale all of that back, you make him a pocket passer, and now you're preying on the things he doesn't do well, which is anticipation, which is basically trusting what he's seeing downfield and making the throws. And again, I'm not saying that those aren't issues, but at a certain point, you have to be able to build the confidence, do what your quarterback does right, and it just doesn't feel like any of that is going on right now.
Aaron, right now, if you were to guess and play this thing out, admittedly, from my perspective, I'm as least optimistic as I've been about Justin Fields. I agree with you. I think it's definitely multi-layered, and I am of the perspective. I was worried and terrified last year that they were going to ruin him with just the offensive line, with a limited amount of playmakers, and the fact that he got out of that season, actually had some momentum going into the offseason based on his production. I was thrilled. So I do think there's many contributing factors, but where are you at in terms of percentage of confidence that Justin Fields is the guy for Chicago? And is there any lingering thought in your mind, and how much can it grow that, hey, maybe they should be in a position, if they are, for Caleb Williams to take him or to take a quarterback high in the draft? Like, where are you at as far as that standpoint goes?
Well, I think if you're being realistic with yourself, there's got to be a high possibility that Justin Fields isn't the guy in 2024, and more importantly, that this coaching staff isn't around in 2024. I mean, you're talking about a team that went into a full-on rebuild last year. They win 3 games. It's like, okay, to a certain extent, it's excusable. Obviously, the main goal was accomplished in terms of getting the number one overall pick, making the moves that they did, having, at least on paper, a pretty solid offseason overall. But then you come into this year and you look as flat as you have. And I think, you know, I'm a big statistical guy. I like to look at, you know, historical factors, historical trends, stuff like that. And the reality of it is that Justin Fields would almost be like setting a brand new mark in terms of, you know, struggling as much as he did in terms of EPA, in terms of all the other stuff as a passer that he has over the first 2 years of his career, and then come out in these first 2 games. He would be a historical outlier at this point to be successful as a quarterback. But I think at the same time, the Bears need to be doing everything in their power right now over these next 15 games to see where he's at. Because, like you pointed out, I mean, the Bears are going to be in a position. I mean, I don't know how much you watched of the Carolina Panthers the first 2 weeks of the season. They're not good, man. Their offense, the Bears' offense is bad. The Carolina offense is on a whole nother level of bad. And they've got a rookie quarterback. It's understandable. So the Bears are going to have, especially if they keep on this current trajectory, they're going to have two very high first-round picks. And I think, obviously, that's going to play a factor, but I think that the Bears, especially after what they did to him this last season, talking about Justin Fields in terms of, look at the receiving core that he had. Look at the offensive line that he had. I mean, there was absolutely zero excuse to put a second-year quarterback behind any of that. They owe it to him over these next 15 games. Take Tyson Bagent out of the equation, everything else. They owe it to him for these next 15 games to try to figure something out. And if that means in two or three games if things aren't working out, fire Luke Getsy. Do something to make sure that you don't end this year either A, not knowing if he's the guy, or B, saying we haven't seen enough, he's not the guy, and you move on, you trade him, you do whatever, and he goes and succeeds elsewhere. Because I'm telling you right now, man, all you got to do is look at some of these other teams around the league right now. I mean, just look at Washington with Sam Howell, look at Atlanta right now with Desmond Ridder, and even Marcus Mariota to a certain extent last year. You're telling me that Justin Fields isn't as talented or more talented than any of those three quarterbacks. And the fact is they have good offensive minds who have been able to make things work. And I think that that's really where the Bears need to say, hey, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that Justin Fields gets every opportunity in the world. I think that they owe that to him. I'll be honest and say, I don't think the chances are high that it's going to work out, but I think they have to figure something out. And I think at this point in time, the offensive coordinator has got to be the first domino to fall if this doesn't get fixed.
Aaron Lemming does great work for the Bear Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. Aaron, I was excited about the upgrade in the receiving weapons for Justin Fields going into the season. DJ Moore did splash in that Tampa game, going over 100 yards, and had a pretty nice game. Chase Claypool's been massively disappointing, and that's putting it lightly. As you evaluate it, just kind of the skill position groups in that offense, based on what we kind of maybe hoped it would be and what the current reality is right now, based on your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Chase Claypool has been a massive disappointment, although to his credit, thanks to the three catches that he had and the touchdown, maybe it was two catches. I think it was three catches and the touchdown that he had. I do a thing every week called Touchdown Tales through Windy City Gridiron, where we basically feature a new rescue. We do kind of like, you know, different things to try to get people involved for donations, and an awesome Twitter account ended up basically quote tweeting and saying, you know, if Chase Claypool, I'll give $2 for every yard that Chase Claypool has. And there were a bunch of people who matched. It ended up being fantastic. That's about nice. The only thing so far that has gone right in the Chase Claypool era of him being with the Bears. I mean, he didn't even have 200 yards receiving with the Bears since he's come over. I mean, he's been, and that's not even talking about the effort level, all the talk last week. And I mean, there's still a lot to go through there, but I think, again, when you're looking at this offense, it's just it's not overly functional. And I think that that's kind of the thing where it's like, you know, DJ Moore needs to be out in space. Like, he's not the guy that you want catching screen passes. Now, obviously, we saw the one in you know, the preseason, and that's great. It's preseason. They weren't playing against a ton of starters. But DJ Moore is a guy, like, his biggest value, the biggest reason to be excited about him when they made the move for him is how good he is as a route runner and how good he is out in open space, and they're not utilizing that very well. The same thing with Darnell Mooney. I mean, the problem is they have one really good blocking receiver on their entire team. That guy's been inactive these last 2 weeks, and Equanimeous St. Brown. It's like, outside of that, they have never been a good screen team. They have never been one of those teams that, you know, that blocks well on the perimeter and everything else like that. And I think the other concerning part of this too, you know, just kind of looking from the receiver aspect and, you know, being able to be productive, they're not running the ball a whole lot, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me. It's like they're, you know, they ran the ball a ton on first down in week one, and then they didn't really do it that much. But there's just not a lot of rhythm to this offense. And ultimately what this comes down to is, yes, Justin Fields needs to be a lot better than he has been. I mean, all you got to do is watch the all 22 of these first two games. He is missing guys streaking wide open down the middle of the field. There's no denying that. But at the same time, when your offense has no rrhythm and your quarterback, your young quarterback, your quarterback that's in year three, that's 24 years old, that guy, when you cannot give him confidence to stand back in the pocket and believe in what he's seeing because of how disjointed the offense is, this is what's going to happen. I mean, on paper, the Bears should have, I would say, a top 15, top 16, receiving slash tight end group. And the reality of it is Robert Tonyan hasn't hardly been involved at all. Cole Kmet is, Cole Kmet, but it's like they have three pretty solid receivers plus some pretty solid depth. And you look at their offensive numbers right now, and it's just, there's so much wrong. And again, I mean, this is a much more talented group than last year, and yet we're sitting here talking about how they can't move the ball. They can't get in the red zone. When they get in the red zone, they can score touchdowns. But the problem is they haven't been getting into the red zone. So it's just, again, to me, obviously you can't excuse some of the play that's been going on, especially at the quarterback position. But to me, a lot of this comes back to the coaching staff right now and the fact that they're not doing nearly enough.
Aaron, it's still relatively early for Matt Eberflus, two games into his second season in Chicago, but it was an interesting move that the Bears went with a defensive-minded head coach to pair with their young quarterback. How much of this do you think falls on his shoulders, and do you think he still can be the right guy for the Bears going forward?
Well, it may be early, but it's going to get too late here within the next, I'd say, 5 or 6 games if they can't get this thing figured out. And, I mean, again, last year's hard to evaluate because of, the changes that they went through, the tear down in the roster and all that stuff. But I think how flat they've come out in these first two games and how disjointed they've looked. I mean, even, you pan over the sidelines of the game, guys are kind of moping around on the bench. It's one of those things where, Matt Eberflus seems like a really good guy. He has some really good defenses in Indianapolis, but I think a lot of his, his philosophy is just flat out outdated. And the whole hits principle thing, I mean, that was something that, when he brought that up originally, for anybody who wasn't familiar with him, which is a lot of Bears fans, it's kind of one of those things like, okay, if people buy in, it's probably going to work out, but if they don't, they're not going to. And what have we seen so far where, you got a situation where you're talking about guys that are just committing penalties constantly. You're talking about, you want to talk about accountability. Well, why was Chase Claypool even playing in week two after the performance that he had? I mean, you start looking around, and there's just not a lot of accountability on this roster. So I think, in my personal opinion, I don't think that the Bears would fire, they've never fired, and I don't think they will ever fire a head coach during the middle of the season, especially while the McCaskies own the team. But here's what I will say. I think that if they can't get things figured out over the next 5 or 6 weeks, I think that things are going to go, they're going to go even more downhill in a hurry. So can he fix it? Absolutely. I mean, look at what the Lions did last year. The Lions had a really rough start. Even going back to year one and Dan Campbell, they didn't do too well. They fired Anthony Lynn, their offensive coordinator, during the offseason, went to Ben Johnson. Everything started working out well. Their defense played terrible last year. They got off to, I think it was like a 1-5 start. They fired their secondary coach, and I think he was like the passing game coordinator on the defensive side of the ball. All of a sudden, they finished 9-8, and they barely missed the playoffs because the Seahawks won. It's like, yes, things can absolutely turn around. I just, from a culture standpoint, I feel like this is one of those teetering on the edge of, guys starting to throw people on, guys starting to throw other guys under the bus, within the media. So I think, I don't think they're going to win on Sunday, but I mean, they got some winnable games coming up. If they come out of this first 6 or 7 games of the season at 2-4, 3-3, I think that you can probably make an argument that they can get back on the right track. But man, if they start off like 0-5, 1-6, something like that, I think it's going to get ugly in a hurry.
Aaron, I've got one more for you. It's kind of a hindsight, big picture question. And we know that the fact that Patrick Mahomes in the same draft class as Mitch Trubisky is a dark cloud that's going to hang around the Bears for a long, long, long time. But I think about this too whenever I watch Kyle's Dolphins, whenever I saw the fact that Brian Daboll and the Giants were in the playoffs last year. Oh, by the way, Doug Peterson and the Jags were last year in his first year. Could the Bears have gotten any of those guys, in your opinion? Because me as a Bears fan, I'm just like, Mike McDaniel was on the market, so was Doug Peterson, so was Brian Daboll, and the Bears got Matt Eberflus.
Well, I mean, it's hindsight to a certain extent, but I mean, I don't know how you were, but I remember the cycle last year, and it was really strange because they brought in Bill Polian, they had this committee that they went through, and they were simultaneously interviewing general manager candidates and head coaching candidates. And I don't know if people remember this, but the Bears already had a top three final candidate list before they hired, before they hired Ryan Poles as a general manager.
Right.
Now, he said that he signed off on it. I don't believe that. I think with the, especially when you're talking about bringing in a brand new regime with a head coach and a GM, you're talking about usually two guys from the same agency. I mean, that's just really the way it goes. The same thing with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane there in New York. You know, that's just usually how it goes. But you bring up some of those names that you just brought up. They interviewed Doug Peterson. They didn't touch Mike McDaniel. I mean, they didn't do anything with Mike McDaniel. I mean, they basically gave, I want to say, I don't even think they got Brian Daboll in the building. I think they basically did like a virtual interview with them. Like, you start looking at, I mean, the one offensive name, like the one actual offensive name that they had as a finalist was Jim Caldwell, who at that point in time was 66 years old and hadn't coached since 2017. He was going to be an assistant with Miami. I think it was back in 2019 or 2020. And he basically stepped away in July right before training camp started due to health reasons. So it's like, you look at their other two candidates, and it was Matt Eberflus and Dan Campbell. And I'm not – sorry, not Dan Campbell. Dan Quinn. Yeah, Jim Caldwell and Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was the other but he was a defensive mind as well. So it's like, yeah, that whole thing, it's kind of one of those you kind of have to accept it, especially when you're hiring a GM and a head coach, that they're usually going to come from the same agency. And Athletes First has been huge because of because of the Trace Armstrong connection and all that stuff. But I do think that, and this is why I think that Ryan Poles will stay regardless of what happens this year, because I think he's going to, there'll be something that will leak out through the media where he's like, well, I was fine with these lists, but I want one of my guys, and then we'll see it happen from there. But no, I don't think it's hindsight at all, because I think the entire process of how they hired a head coach, the fact that they had three finalists before they named a GM, and then, magically 2 days later, they brought in one of those finalists, which is Matt Eberflus, and he was magically the head coach. I thought the head coaching process was extremely flawed.
Great stuff, and also as a Bears fan, depressing stuff. But I appreciate Aaron for giving his insight, his breakdown. He does it awesome. We're always so excited to have him on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Follow Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. Read his stuff at the Bear Report. Aaron, thanks as always. I hope this season, for your sake, gets better, more intriguing to cover, and for my sake as a Bears fan, does as well. But we'll definitely catch up with you down the road.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully in a few weeks we'll be talking again. They'll have things figured out. Maybe they'll be 2-3 by that point. I mean, the division's not good. I mean, they could get back in this thing. It's just, it's hard when you watch this team over the first 2 weeks and, seeing what we've seen, it doesn't feel promising, that's for sure.
It's rough, and I wouldn't mind too if Luke Getsy gets fired in 3 weeks and we call you about that too, so I'd be okay with that as well. But either way, we'll catch up with you again, and thanks, man. Thanks as always. Enjoy the football going forward.
Absolutely, always appreciate you having me on.
Aaron Lemming, Bear Report. Aaron Lemming at I can't talk anymore, I'm just so emotional about the Bears right now. I'm too worked up. At Aaron Lemming NFL on Twitter. He's really, really good, and we're lucky to have him on our show. We got to catch a break. We'll wrap up the show when we return. This is The Drive.
A biker, a Baptist minister, a Catholic priest, a veteran, and a farmer walk into a trucking company. Sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's the diversification of the driver force at Gale Ferrix Trucking. At GFT, we welcome all qualified Class A CDL holders. So if you have 2 years of experience or less with military service, a clean driving record, and a positive work ethic, we want you to fill one of our three open regional van positions today. You will have every weekend at home and earn the money to enjoy it with our $1,200 weekly gross pay guarantee, in addition to all the other great advantages GFT offers. During the month of September, we are paying a $4,000 sign-on bonus to experienced drivers that want to work for a company that works as hard for them as they work for us. Call 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com. 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
Party at Pia's Friday before our Illini game on Saturday. Join us after 3 with prizes to sign up for, like Illini jerseys, tickets to the game. See the Bullet Woody tailgate wagon with $5 shots of Bullet Rye and Bourbon. This teardrop camper folds out on the Pia's patio for the ultimate party experience as you get the latest game details from Derek Piper and myself with our live show from 3 to 5. On the Drive, Pia's 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Does your home have those annoying outdoor spigots that leak and have no pressure? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing can help. Install a new Woodford outdoor spigot so your gardens and flowers don't suffer in this summer heat. Make sure your home's outdoors look great and call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, where your dream car awaits. With an exquisite selection of top-tier vehicles, impeccable service, and unbeatable prices, they are your ultimate destination for automotive excellence. Experience luxury, performance, and style like never before. Visit today and drive home in the vehicle you've always desired. Sarah Champaign, Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. Your journey towards automotive perfection starts here. Visit them at Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
If you need a new business sign or signage for your golf outing, we can do it and help you get noticed. Hi, this is Kirk Lehman, owner of Aftershock Decals and Design, and we can produce any kind of signage you want with our graphic design team. You want a custom design? We are here for you, and we are easy to work with, I promise. So visit us at AftershockDD.com to get a quote and get noticed. That's AftershockDD.com. Get noticed.
Illini fans, gear up for football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
You know what that means? It means it's time to go home. Good stuff from Aaron Lemming on the Tapman's Towing phone line, filling us in on the Chicago Bears. His thoughts, really appreciated his insights on Justin Fields, and also my hindsight question, Kyle. Can't help but look at Mike McDaniel and that beautiful Miami Dolphins offense and say, what could have been? What could have been? Of course, we'd need Tyreek Hill, too. But
he would. But
if you wouldn't mind throwing that in, just seeing if it works in Chicago, we'll give him right back, I promise.
I'll hang on to him.
Okay.
Mike McDaniel has been just awesome for the Dolphins, and the offense has been just a pleasure to watch. I don't mean to rub it in.
I'm happy for you. I really am. That's being genuine. Real quick on the U of I Land Link text line, 217 says, don't worry, Pipes. Kevin Warren going to pull his Michigan strings and hire Jim Harbaugh. Couldn't be worse, right? I mean,
he did do Michigan quite a few favors over the last couple of years, so they owe him a little bit.
Yeah, and some favors that actually apparently were illegal, so he got suspended. But and then Maxwell says, is Bieniemy a possibility for head coach with Poles having the connection from KC? I would imagine. If
it's weird that he hasn't been hired.
I know.
It feels like his name's popped up every year.
He's needed it now to show it somewhere else. If the Commanders end up having a good season, I think he'll be a hot enough name then to get hired. So we'll see about that. We will talk to you tomorrow. Everybody have a great night. This is The Drive.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Pool, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth,